Well, on our show today, I play the parts of all of the characters that you'll hear, with the exception of some minor editing that we do to help with our production. We don't use any overdubbing or multi-tracking or any other production tricks, and our entire show is recorded in real time, that is, as it's happening. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. My name is Don Berman, and I dare you to listen to the next 30 minutes of this show, because today, I, Don Berman, Emmy award-winning anchorman from Channel 19 News here in Los Angeles, will reveal the secrets of something that has baffled man for centuries. The secrets of the Bermuda Triangle. You will be hearing a great many people debunking much of the information I'll be giving you on this program today. One of the things that I will be asking you to do is to understand that much of this information is absolutely true and concrete. The fact that we do not remember certain dates or the specifics of certain areas does not matter. What matters is the information is concrete and absolutely sacrosanct. Yes, Channel 19 News and me, Don Berman, presents The Secrets of the Bermuda Triangle. In October of 1977, James Watson had traveled to Gatwick Airport to the east of London, England, to pick his wife up from a business trip that she had been on. She'd been called away suddenly on business and was returning, or so he thought.
Right, I went to the airport there where they said the airplanes would land with her on the airplane, and she was not there. And I've not been to an airport before, and it was confusing for me to go and navigate this large area where these airplanes were landing and taking off. And I said, "Do you know my wife?" And they said, "Well, what's her name?" I said, "Her name is Shirley Watson, and she had flown to Paris." And they said, "Well, what airline?" I said, "Well, I don't really know." And they said, "Well, you'll have to go around to the different airlines and ask if they have a passenger by that name, because we can't really help you." Well, it turns out I was never able to locate her at all. And I never did find her.
You never did find her. She was flying in from Paris, but she had been in the United States. Is that right?
Right. She'd flown over the United States first to on business, and then she came back to Paris. And then she came into London. That's why I never thought about the Bermuda Triangle, because of the sort of triangular... Well, now that you mention it.
Right, exactly. It was just such a phone call as that, and others that we made, that convinced us there was something to it. Not just the fact that the Bermuda Triangle was causing people to disappear, but the Bermuda Triangle itself was just one part of the mystery. Could it have been the triangular area of travel that each of these missing people had been involved in? We talked to Dr. William Hunter at the University of Villanova.
I'm not aware of any kind of travel like that. If you,
For instance, what we're saying, Doctor, is it possible that the people...
Now, you're saying, did they go in a triangular fashion?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
We don't have any information. What I'm saying is, if the ship, for instance, the Mary Celestine...
The Mary Celestine.
Right, but that didn't go in a triangular way. The Mary Celestine, as far as we know, had traveled from New York.
In a straight line.
In a straight line. And it wasn't even in the Bermuda Triangle when it went missing. It was somewhere outside of Gibraltar.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's,
I'm right here?
Yeah, that's the door there, and you can, your car, I guess, did you park here?
Yeah. Do you validate these?
Oh, we do.
Things began to add up. The Mary Celestine did not travel in a triangular fashion, but Mr. Watson's wife had. What did they have in common? They were missing. Missing in or near the Bermuda Triangle. The Bermuda Triangle has been a source of great mystery, as we mentioned, for a great many years and centuries. It is within the Bermuda Triangle that people have lost lives, ships, planes. Sometime after World War II, a group of Navy patrol planes were lost in the Bermuda Triangle. This was after World War II had ended. Why was the Navy flying patrol planes a year after war had ceased? That question has never been answered, not to the satisfaction of William Duncan, who has been a longtime investigator of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, see, that part I didn't get. And I called them up 2 days running. They put me through to a maintenance guy. Some guy swept floors there.
And what did he tell you?
He said that they're on a patrol, on a training mission. I said, training for what? Training for what? The war is over. And he said, and these are his exact words, he said, how would I know? And I said, you work there. How would you know? You work there.
Yeah, he's every day he's there pushing a broom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're going to overhear things. You're going to see things. You're going to... Let me tell you something, Don. That's your name's Don, right?
Yes.
You know, some of the most dangerous people in the world are these people that just slink around the corners and are, you know, picking up coffee cups off a table, and maybe their job is just to scrub the dirt and the filth off of a plate. But those people are the ones that get more information. Man, they've got the goods. So I said, it doesn't strike you as weird.
Now, this was a guy, what was his job?
He was a janitor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, well, I'll give it to you straight. The war was over and they're out on a patrol mission, pal. I said, when we do find out what happened, it's your neck. And then I hung the phone up.
Yes, great many people who have investigated the Bermuda Triangle have met that kind of stonewalling. So this group of Navy planes was lost. Lost on a so-called patrol mission or training mission, whatever you want to call it, after the war was over. They never found the planes. What did those men know? What did their commanders know? We don't know. We'll never know. I don't think we'll ever know. And one of the reasons why I don't think we'll ever know is because I happen to consider myself to be a very, very good reporter. And I know I'm not going to get to the bottom of this. I'll give you an example why. I've been drinking. Many of you know that I have an alcohol abuse problem. But I'll tell you something. I am in the news gathering business. That means every day of my life, I wade into a sewer of information. And when I say a sewer of information, I mean just that. And I pick through it to see if there's any interesting items for the news for you, so that you can have something interesting to chew over while you're having your dinner. It's not a very satisfying line of work, I can tell you that. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle. I am Don Berman, Channel 19 news anchor, an Emmy Award-winning news anchor. In the late 1970s, Steven Spielberg made a film called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Spielberg showed in the climactic scene an alien ship landing and disgorging a long line of human beings who had been lost in the Bermuda Triangle. They had been, according to the movie, absconded with. They had been selected. They had been kidnapped, taken hostage, whatever word you choose to use, by the aliens. And the most fascinating aspect of this film was that they had not grown older. What would it be like for the mothers, for the wives, for the family members of those lost pilots to see them again as young men? And what would happen if those young men who flew those planes into the oblivion of the Bermuda Triangle had actually reversed the aging process and grew younger? We'll talk to Hebrew Swenson, a doctor of aging, genealogy, and processing, in just a moment. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle with me, Don Berman, will be right back. Dr. Hebrew Swenson is a man that I interviewed recently, a man who knows the science of aging. He's also studied a great deal of Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. I spoke with him recently about the possibility that those pilots, and indeed any other people who had been lost in the Bermuda Triangle, once returned to their loved ones, might have actually reversed in aging, that is, gotten younger.
In a diaper.
You're saying that, what do you mean in a diaper?
I mean that if they have gotten younger, then they're going to appear wherever they appear, wherever they materialize, wherever they're allowed to materialize, they'll be in a diaper and an aviator hat or a sailor's hat. Now, if you can imagine, there have been films made, gosh, going all the way back to the beginning of cinema, where you see little babies and little boys in sailor hats. And I shiver to think that perhaps...
You don't think so.
I shiver to think that perhaps one or two of them might have been, in point of fact, a military man or someone who had wandered into that Bermuda Triangle and came back wearing his sailor suit, and now he's three, and you have to just blend in.
Well, why wouldn't you say something? Why wouldn't you say, I'm Captain So-and-so,
Think about it. They'd have you in a mental hospital. Think about it. Just think about it, okay? It doesn't stand to reason that you'd say anything. If you came back and you're still wearing your sailor suit or your admiral costume and you're 3 or 4 years of age, the first thing you're going to think of is, I've got to get through this. I've got to survive this. I can't just jump out and say, hi, I'm your husband. You have to think clearly. And these were military guys. And they would think probably, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Well, I took the bait. I decided to find one of those three-year-olds in a sailor suit, and I did. Thumbing through some photographs in a magazine, I found one such individual, Jimmy Spielman of Omaha, Nebraska, and I spoke with him recently. Jimmy, you were in a magazine with a sailor suit. Where are you from?
Who is this?
You can see that there was fear in the voice of that boy. You can also hear that there was fear in the voice of that boy. But maybe you could even see the fear in the voice of that boy. I know I did. That's what happens to me, Don Berman, when I have too much to drink. And then I am tasked with presenting to you something that scares me to death. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle will continue right after this. The Bermuda Triangle has fascinated man for quite some time. We spoke at the very beginning of the program about the Mary Celestine, a ship that went missing sometime in the 19th century. The Mary Celestine was a ship that allegedly contained some explosive cargo, or cargo that might have created an explosive gas that needed to be released. Otherwise, the ship and all of its crew would have been jeopardized. Well, that's what some would have you believe actually happened to the Mary Celestine, that the crew abandoned ship, fearing there would be a massive explosion. Well, that doesn't quite play with Don Berman or the Channel 19 news crew. So I went out to Newport Harbor with Salty Williams and tried to recreate those conditions.
Well, it'd be about like this.
Now, where are we now, Salty?
Well, we're about a mile off of the... Right now, we're about a mile off of the jetty.
And when we get out to the where we want to be is what...
I've got here a canister. And what I'm going to do is just heat it up a little bit here with it. See it?
Now, hold on. That's a blowtorch.
Yeah. But what would happen is would be the following thing, Don. I would say they reached a certain point and they said... God damn it, we've got an explosive material, and we better do something about it and do something about it now. And before they could get downstairs to collect their clothing,
now that explosion you heard did, in point of fact, blow us clean off the deck and into the water. Fortunately, though, we were fished out by a trailing patrol boat. But that's what we're talking about. Let's play that again so you can hear the explosive power.
And they were coming up from below, and the next thing you knew...
Now, what you didn't hear there was that as he was being blown off the deck, my good friend there, Salty, hit the boom, which is, of course, the large piece of the mast that also helps hook the sail to the mast. Let's listen more carefully.
Ah! Goddamn cunt.
Interesting, isn't it? So, as we can see, there are a great many things that are hidden. Hidden from view in the Bermuda Triangle. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle with me, Don Berman, will continue in a moment. Ever since I was a small boy, I was fascinated with tales of dragons and creatures that live below the deep. I was fascinated with the ideas of sea serpents. I'm sure we have all, as young people, seen Godzilla and other movies about large prehistoric animals living below the surface of the waves. Is there such a thing as a sea serpent? Well, we do know that the Loch Ness Monster now for sure does exist. The facts are in. There's no denying it. We have all the data. The Loch Ness Monster does exist. I talked to Father Pretorius, a member of a monastery that overlooks the loch, about this recent discovery.
Dad, I thought, if you're going to say that, take that stuff outside, I'm not going to...
You don't believe it?
Oh, I don't believe it. Of course I don't believe it. There's never been a Loch Ness Monster, never going to be a Loch Ness Monster. You gotta take that outside. Go ahead, take it outside. Take that mess out of here, because Papa don't stand no mess. They kind of blues, you know? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the Loch Ness Monster...
There's no Loch Ness Monster, no bloody Loch Ness Monster. There's never been a Loch Ness Monster. I cursed the day they ever said there was a Loch Ness Monster. I cursed the day they ever said... I cursed the very man who said there was a St. Bartholomew. He said that there's a Loch Ness Monster. And I said, well, you know, that's the old timers, you know? That's what they're going to say.
But there were sightings, and...
No, there's never any sightings. There's never been any real sighting. There has been people that say to him, well, a Loch Ness Monster lives out there in the loch. And I said, have you got the picture? He said, here, here's the picture. Well, I took the picture of the Loch Ness Monster. Do you know what they found? Do you know what they found it on?
No, what they find?
That's a pair of pants. That was not the Loch Ness Monster. It's someone's pants. Somebody's pants that were left out there in the loch.
Someone's pants? That looks like a sea serpent.
Oh, I bet it looks like a sea serpent. If you want to see a sea serpent, you'll see a sea serpent. No question about it. But it's a pair of pants, a pair of man's slacks. A man's slacks are out there. It's rubbish. It continues to be rubbish. And every time people come to this country, they say, let's go up to see the Loch Ness Monster. It's fine. Put some money in the collection, you know, go into the, down to the town or the village there and buy yourself a pint, but spread some money around. Do something for tourism, you know, because that's the only damn thing that the Loch Ness Monster's ever been good for, as far as I can see. You know?
Well, at least it brings the tourist money in.
Yes, but it's not real. It's not real, sir. It's never been real. I'm trying to explain this to you. Jesus H. Christ, it's like I'm talking to a brick wall here.
That was Father Pretorius, who lives in a monastery overlooking the Loch. The Loch of the Ness. The Loch Ness Monster now actually being alive, doesn't it also stand to reason then that a gigantic sea serpent also lives somewhere beneath the ocean's waves there in the Atlantic Ocean? Wouldn't that stand to reason?
No. No, it doesn't stand to reason to me at all. Because the goddamn thing doesn't exist in the loch here in Scotland. If it doesn't exist in the loch in Scotland, how the hell you think it's going to exist here in the Atlantic Ocean?
Well,
You know, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break, man. You know, do some other story or something. How'd you figure out what happened to the Glasgow Rangers, huh? They ever going to make it up to... Scottish Premiership or not, that's such a shit team. Crap. Pure crap.
This is The Secrets of the Loch Ness, the Bermuda Triangle, with me, Don Berman. We'll be right back.
A change of scene. A change of style.
The Bermuda Triangle. It has taken people and sucked them either into an outer space situation or beneath the waves where an ancient civilization still lives. And that brings me to Atlantis. Atlantis. Is there any legend on Earth that absolutely captivates the imagination of the people of the planet Earth and perhaps other planets? Is there anything that captivates their imagination like Atlantis?
Yeah.
I talked to Rosie Johnson, who is one of the researchers on the Atlantis Project, to see if there's any connection between Atlantis and the Bermuda Triangle. Rosie, these people that are missing in the Bermuda Triangle,
yeah.
What are the odds they have been taken to Atlantis?
Well, it's a pretty interesting notion, you know. I like it.
You think it's possible?
Oh, I do. I think it's very possible. I like the idea. I don't know exactly. They have to have a way to do it, you know. You suck them down from the ocean and go down to Atlantis, see? Because Atlantis is underwater.
No, I know that.
All right, and so when you have it underwater like that, what happens is you have to have areas that are sealed off and a way to take things from up there and bring it down. So it has to be like an airlock or something.
Right. Have they developed airlocks in Atlantis?
I don't know. They're still wearing Roman togas. You know, they're walking around and they're reading poetry and everything down there. I don't know how much they're advanced in terms of science of it, you know. But it could be. It's just a matter of whether or not they, you know.
Well, they don't have science per se, but do they not have the acumen and the civilization to invent those things they need?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but do they need, you know, what do they need to do? See, what's the point of them sucking a guy down to Atlantis if it doesn't really, you know, I don't know why they would want to do that.
Well, they, maybe to scare the people up here into going, ooh, you know, what happened to them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what they're doing now. If that's what they're doing, then they're doing a good job.
Exactly. And a lot of people are thinking, well, the Bermuda Triangle myth, so to speak, has worn off. I think it's just getting underway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not my area. You know, my thing is Atlantis. Way down, you know.
Yes, Atlantis. The Loch Ness Monster. All of these interesting legends lend themselves quite neatly to the Bermuda Triangle. But what of outer space? Now, we mentioned Steven Spielberg's great Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the fact that people were taken by aliens, put into their spaceship, and flown around until they were dropped back on Earth sometime in the 70s, according to Spielberg's movie. But did they have to be taken from the Bermuda Triangle? The answer to that question is no, I don't think so, but then again, maybe they did. Maybe they had to be taken from the Bermuda Triangle up into outer space because of some need that the aliens have for, you guessed it, salt water. In a very, very interesting film starring James Caan, he befriends an alien police officer who cannot stand salt water, can't be anywhere near it. In fact, it acts almost as if it's acid. Think about that. If aliens find salt water to be acidic, to be something they're absolutely frightened of, scared to death of, that could eat away their flesh and kill them, doesn't it stand to reason that they would want to take as hostages anybody they find floating around out there in the Atlantic Ocean because their anger gets the best of them? They don't like anybody that can actually be on salt water. And so they hover around. They see a ship, an airplane, and they take everyone hostage as a way of acting out and saying, you aren't that special. You can't be, I'm an alien and I come from another planet and I've flown to your planet. I don't care if you can swim in salt water. Go to hell. Go to your hell. Go to the hell you understand. You don't get to go to my hell. I'm an alien. My hell is that. My hell is that ocean. That's my hell. You don't get to go there. You go there and you're splashing and swimming and enjoying yourself. Well, you don't get to do that. Yes, the mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle. It is quite a story, and it's only beginning. I'd like to thank all of you for being with me. I'm Don Berman, reminding you that every alien has a human inside of him screaming to get out. The Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle. We'd like to thank the University of California at Berkeley, Caltech, MIT, Purdue, Dartmouth, and Pasadena City College for lending information and their source materials. I'm Don Berman, and I would like to encourage all of you to contact me immediately if you have any sense that you're being taken away in a spaceship, if you feel that you've met an alien, if you feel that you have been probed, if you feel you've been violated by an alien, if you feel you have been in an airplane or a ship and you've been on water and suddenly you blacked out, if you woke up with your shoelaces tied together. That sounds like some kind of a college prank. Guess what? No, it isn't. Our information is aliens do that to mark you as someone they're going to swing back by and pick up after they've patrolled some of the outer sectors. This has been the Mysteries of the Bermuda Triangle with Don Berman, Channel 19's Emmy Award-winning news anchor. Paul Palfrey speaking.
What do you think? I thought it was long on drama. I don't think he had much facts. You know, that's why I asked you yesterday, Phil. I said, what do you know about it, you know? I guess I don't know anything about it, but it was short. It was not short. It was not long, in fact. No, you had a Loch Ness monster, and we talked to a guy that lives there. Right, and he said it didn't exist. He's a priest. He's a priest. They lie. You know, you'll be sorry, man. I swear to God. I hope I am sorry.
No.
You, really? You hope you're sorry? Because you will be sorry. You'll be embarrassed. I hope so. Well, you're a liar. Another, I smell another Emmy. I smell something, but it ain't an Emmy. Don. Don, don't be a child, okay? You'll see. I smell something, and I don't think it's an Emmy. Don't be a baby.